Today I'd like to bring you a message that a person like me, who's been speaking from the pulpit for a little over 43 years since college days, what have I learned? What do I think is most critical for a Christian today? You know, when you think about all the sermons you gave, some of them are pitiful. But, I mean, what would I get real about it? So, I have three words that will be talked about here in this little talk. Because I was told, I miss Lyle. Because Lyle, he gets down there and he walks around, he talks, you know. And I remember when I talked to Lyle as a young guy, he said, he wants to speak without having to look at the notes. He wants to be extemporaneous. So, I remember helping him and getting into that. And he succeeded. I never could do that. I'm glued to my notes. Except that I hardly follow them, but you know what I mean? I got to, because I draw a blank, I don't know, I look what page am I on. But I miss Lyle. Do you guys miss Lyle? Yeah, I miss Lyle. So God bless him. I always pray for him every day. My first point, first word, is this word, obsessed. That's the title I put in the bulletin. Now, it's an adjective definition, and here's what I got out of the dictionary. Obsessed is influenced or controlled by a powerful force, such as a strong emotion, comma, by love possessed. So, that, I said, okay, that's pretty good. But, you know, here's the thing. When you look in the dictionary under obsessed, they mostly assume that you're kind of a mental case. And so they all equate you to go and see a mental doctor. You know, you can see a shrink if you're obsessed. And I said, that's not what I want. I want to be obsessed as it is obsessed by God. So I ask you, are you obsessed today? If you admit it, you got to go see some of the doctors here. Because everybody is obsessed. And most of the times, the obsession is with themselves. What do they want? What's good for me? And I'm obsessed. You know, people get obsessed with all kind of stuff. Their cars, their ball games, their hobbies, their money, whatever it is. But that's an obsession. You should go see a shrink for that. Get balanced. What I'm talking about is everyone should be obsessed, but it should be a obsession by God, of God, with God, for God. Now you have a lot of Christians that are obsessed with their Christian life, with what they can't do and what they can do. They can't eat this, they can't do that, they can't wear this, they can't do that, they can't watch this, they can't. That's not what I'm talking about. You should go see a shrink on that one. I'm talking about somebody who needs to be obsessed by God Himself. Not just thoughts about God. We are to be obsessed inside and outside, totally obsessed by the presence of God. Now, it's easy. I'm going to tell you. Everything I'm going to tell you today is easy. But people make it hard. Now, catch this illustration. If you're a woman, you know this one. Great. Do you ever see a little kid, 4, 5, 6, like we have in children's story here? They're obsessed by their mama. I'm talking about a good mother, you know what I mean, a loving mother, good kid, everything's okay. Because this same kid, he can be playing, he can be doing anything. He's not even thinking about his mama. But the first time there's a challenge or any kind of pilikia, as we said, you know, what does he do? Mama! He calls mama right away. Turns to his mother right away. You know what that is, right? If you're a woman, you know, you understand. And that is to be obsessed with your mama. Can you be obsessed with God 24/7? Why not? I'm going to show you how easy it is. So, Acts 17:28, first text. Acts 17:28. Quote, "And He gives us the power to live, to move, and to be who we are." He, of course, is God. Eh? Then it says, same text, Acts 17:28. We are His children. Got it? I mean, hey, just like mama, you know what I mean? We are His children. Think Heavenly Father. And I'll show you how easy it is. First point, obsessed. Got to be obsessed of, by, for, with God. Second point. God then, if you are obsessed, God's guidance takes place. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. I'll show you how easy it is. Here's the text. So work with fear and trembling to discover what it really means to be saved. All of us trying to be a Christian here today, you have to find out what it really means. God is working in you to make you willing and able to obey Him. It is so easy to be a Christian, but we make it hard. How come? Why do we make it hard? Why? I got the page turned and missed page 2. I wondered why I was already on page 3. I read the text. The point is to be obsessed by God, obsessed by something every one of us usually is obsessed by, and that is self. Wrong. Don't be obsessed by self. Be obsessed by God. Let God's guidance come through. How? It's easy to be a Christian. How? Turn to the born-again experience, the source of your choice of making decision. Do I do this? Do I do that? What do I do? The source of that is God. Now, how do you do that? It's very simple. Now, God working in you. Now, this is a point. People have such a hard time. I like to fool people and say, you know, and I look heavenward, see. I said, now, you know how hard it is to reach God? They say, oh, yeah. So hard to talk to God? Yeah. Is that true or not? Where is God anyway? Right here, Baba. God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Holy Spirit. We have one God, there's a Trinity. That's not hard, don't make it hard. If you're a man like me, I'm a son of my mama. I'm a husband of my wife. I'm a father to my daughter. I'm a grandfather to my grandchildren. Hey, bro, I'm only me standing right here. Is it very hard? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit is in you. And you and God, that close. I call that the Christian advantage. You know, Chrysler used to have that, the Chrysler advantage. And I owned the Chrysler, and I thought, what was the advantage? This car's giving me trouble. Drank gas at 12 miles to the gallon. But it was a Christian advantage. God working in you. Not working to accomplish your salvation. No. The work is so that your will and God's will be the same. You don't choose something that's in opposition to God. You want to choose stuff and things and whatever you're going to do. That's what God wants for you. Now, how do you do that? I tell you, it's so easy. Now, let me give you some quotes here. It has to do with this. You and I are partakers of divine nature. This is another trick I like to pull. I say, hey, when you die, what happens to you? You die? I said, yeah. I said, no. They said, no, hey, come on. All these other churches are wrong on the state of the dead, because when you dead, you dead. No, you're not. Yes, you are. Okay, if that's true, when you dead, you dead. What happens when you read a text, read a text like this one. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. We have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. It is all given to us by God's own power. When we learn that He had invited us to share in His wonderful goodness, that's to be saved, right? God made great and marvelous promises so that His nature would become part of us. God in you, the hope of glory. Christ lives in you. Now, when you die, is that going to die? Can that divine nature die? No way, Jose. God don't die. So now what happens? Hey, go read your Bible, man. When Moses died, the angels in heaven was having a war between the angels of God and the angels of the devil, waiting to get a hold of what Moses had that wasn't going to die. What was that? His divine soul. That part of him that was partaker of divine nature. His character, which was him. Hey, when we get to heaven and I'm up there, you know what? I'm going to still be me. And here you guys was thinking, my wife was saying, I hope he'll improve. No, it's going to be me. It's going to be me. I'm a partaker of divine nature, see? Now, if we are partakers of divine nature, which says his nature would become part of us, then we could escape our evil desires and the corrupt influences of the world. The only thing that makes us sin is what we were born with. We're sinners. We have a carnal, sinful nature or the influence of an evil world. That's all. Did you know that Satan only can do one thing against you? Lie. That's all he can do to try to trick you up and mess you up on your walk to heaven. He can lie to you. That's all God allows him to do is lie. So watch out for lies. Now the quote continues. This one is from Desire of Ages. It says, it is by the Spirit that the heart is made pure. Through the Spirit, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature. Christ has given his Spirit as a divine power to overcome all hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil and to impress his own character upon the church. Desire of Ages 6:7:1. Another one. The humanity of Christ has touched our humanity, and our humanity has touched divinity. Thus, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, man becomes a partaker of divine nature. He is accepted in the church. Last one. The life you have received from me, God, can be preserved only by, listen to this, continual communion. Hey, bro, you got to talk story with God. You get it? Can only be preserved by continual communion. Without me, you cannot overcome one sin or resist one temptation. 676. The problem we have that doesn't make it easy is that our sinful nature many times is stronger than our spiritual nature. Whose fault is that? God not getting weaker is that you or me, any of us who have sinful moments where we go off square one, it's because we let that evil nature take charge. Now I'm going to tell you how to get rid of that. Now you know one of my favorite books, because my wife introduced it to me about 14 years ago, and I've been reading it every day, every morning, for morning worship, for 14 years. And it's a book by Oswald Chambers called My Utmost for His Highest. Now here's what he says in there. Because you see, the sinful nature that we are born with and makes us stubborn needs to be destroyed. Here's what he says. Stubbornness is an unintelligent barrier refusing enlightenment and blocking the flow of enlightenment. The only thing to do with this barrier of stubbornness is to blow it up with dynamite. And the dynamite is obedience to the Holy Spirit. You got it? That's it. Do I believe that Almighty God is the source of my will? God not only expects me to do His will, but He is up to me to do it? That's what it is. We teach obedience, but we teach obedience out of fear. I want to teach obedience today like the little kid that's going, Mama! You understand that? Love obedience. Come on, that's easy. So use the dynamite, the Holy Spirit, and live a life of grace and righteousness by faith in verity. You ever heard of that? Righteousness by faith in verity. That's the backbone of the Seventh-day Adventist walk with Christ. Righteousness by faith. If we just keep it in the forefront of our mind. Now, the Holy Spirit is in you. Talk story. Get it. Take advantage of that. Don't make any important decisions that you sit down and discuss it with your Holy Spirit. Woohoo! You get that talk story relationship, that you start off with communication, then it becomes communion, then it becomes union, and you and God are one. Hey, that was Jesus' prayer for us, wasn't it? John 17, that they all might become one. How are you going to do that? That's it. I just gave you the secret. That's how you can do it. Well, let me have this illustration about grace. This one, maybe some of you teachers got it. Sister Trujillo, Arnold's wife, she likes to put us on her email list, and we got this one. Just listen to this. This lady was a teacher, teaching her class in church school. Very, very heavy responsibility. Comes time for the final exam on the test, big test, you know, pass this, you're in trouble. All the kids study hard, comes the time for the test. She says, okay, we're going to have the test today. This is very important. Every question you got to get, okay? Now we're going to review a little bit. And so they review, and as they're reviewing, the kids say, wow, she never talked about that. She says, it was in the book. It's in the textbook. You got to read that too. That was the assignment. So they all have to take the test. She says, okay, I'm going to pass out the test now face down. Nobody touch it till I tell you go. Then you turn it over. And remember, you got to get every question on this test. Oh, the kid's all nervous up, man. She passes it out. Everything's ready. She says, okay, turn it over. They turn it over. They look at the first question. Ooh, the answer right there. And the second and the third and from the second page. Every question, hard as it was, had the answer right there. And they all scratching their head and looking at her. She says, I know you're wondering what's going on. The biggest thing for my responsibility in this class is to teach you guys grace. Because when you get out of here as a Christian walking in the world, what you have to do is reflect the grace of Jesus Christ every place you go. I gotta make sure you know what grace is. Today, if you put your name on the paper and turn it in, you will get an A+ for this test. My teaching you grace. Did they get it? You betcha they got it. Did they walk in grace the rest of their life? Oh, I hope so. They didn't forget that thing. That's what God has done for us. Obsessed, first one. Possessed, the second one. The third one, the result, is love for God. Eternal love. No distressing with God. I have an illustration. Two of them actually, and I'll end. St. Augustine is a scholar from the 16th century. And he said something, that's the only thing I know about him. I didn't read too much about him, but I always remember this one. St. Augustine said, love God and do anything you want. Adventists don't like to hear that. No can. You do anything you want. Yep. Can you understand how easy it is? If you love God totally, 24/7, if His will and your will are connected, man, you done dynamited the thing with the power of the Holy Spirit. You and God walking in step. Like some of those guys that were translated in the Bible, you know, they walk together. God says, gee, forget it already. Bring them up here. No sense leaving them down there any longer. Are we waiting for a group of people to do that? You better believe it. And are we getting close to when we're going to see that group? Ha-ha. If you don't believe that, you're in deep trouble. We are getting there. So yes, love God and do anything you want, but make sure you know what love is. I'm going to give you this last illustration. This comes to me from a pastor friend from California. His name is Francis Chan. Pat K knows him. We became acquainted with Francis because we were asked to go to the airport and pick up Dr. Chan when he comes in here to give his seminars. Okay? And we did that. We got talk story with him. We got friends. He came this past year and he told his story. He started a church in Simi Valley, California. He built it up to where it's thousands of members. And just not too long ago, they were ready now to build their new church. They're working on the design and everybody's getting excited. And Pastor Chan is walking with God. He's obsessed, possessed, no distress because he walks with God. And they're going to build a $60 million edifice there. And they got the dough. Wow. What a feeling for a pastor to be in that position. And the Lord is talking to him in his private meditations and prayer. Do unto these the least of my brethren, the wretched, the poor, the hungry, the blind, all over the world and all over California, there are these people. that need help, like there are some, I'm sure, in Mono Valley. Oh, wow. His obsession with Christ is now causing a problem in his life. He thinks about it, and he goes to the board meeting and says, I want some sad news here tonight to be told. I resign as the pastor of this church. What? Now? What? Wait, hold it a minute. Wait. No, he said, this is it. It kind of explains to some of the brethren what his problem is. I need time to think this thing over. And the one says, take the time. 2 months later, the church members approach him and say, please come back. We got an idea. Have you ever heard of the Green Bay Packers football team? You see them. You know, Brett Favre was their quarterback. And every Sunday during football season at the Green Bay Packers, that stadium of 70,000 people is packed for over 15 years. Every ticket has been sold out. And they got the worst weather in the world. When you watch that team play, there's snow all over the field. The people all sitting like that with coats and gloves and everything else. And they're 17 years plus packed with people, obsessed with football. And Dr. Chan's church members came back and said to him, let me tell you something. We live in Simi Valley. It don't rain maybe 3 days out of the year. It gets a little chilly. But we all have coats and we all have gloves. And we got an idea. Please, Dr. Chan, come back. We're not going to build that huge $60 million edifice. Let's build an amphitheater. An open-air thing with a nice platform at the end where you guys can preach from. And we'll all sit out there. We'll bring our umbrella and our gloves. Because we are obsessed by God. And if we do that, we can build it for $30 million and have 30 men left over to carry on the kingdom of God and preaching of the gospel to those who deserve to hear it. And he demonstrated this by right on the platform of the Blaze at the convention center. He put out his hands like this, you know. Now, what do you think when you see somebody do that? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He held out his hand and he said, we couldn't hear it. You know? His little daughter, about 9 or 10 years old, just ran right up to him, jumped up and hugged him around the neck, and he held her. He said, that's my daughter. When I said, honey, come. She came. Thousands of people there in a convention center. You think she's going to be shy? She's going to be a Lulu, as they say, and how a nervous Nelly? No. That's her daddy, man, calling. God says to us this morning, are you obsessed with me? Are you possessed by me? Then don't have any distress in this life. Because you are Christians. You are victims of grace, the gift of God. Let me close with a little poem by Maya Angelou. Some of you have seen her on television and so forth and so on. But here's a good poem. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not shouting. I'm clean living. I'm whispering. I was lost, now I'm found and forgiven. When I say I am a Christian, I don't speak of this with pride. I'm confessing that I stumble and need Christ to be my guide. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak and need His strength to carry on. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting I have failed and need God to clean my mess. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are far too visible, but God believes I'm worth it. When I say I'm a Christian, I still feel the sting of pain. I have my share of heartache, so I call upon His name. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not holier than thou. I'm just a simple sinner who received God's good grace somehow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this Sabbath morning that we are sinners saved by grace your grace and help us to remember that each and every day that we have a God with his arms wide open, reaching for us to come to him. Oh Lord, we can paint a picture of our God just to see how much love he has shown us. And yet we all know that. What we need to do, Lord, is control through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit the choices that we make. So I pray, bless us. May we be obsessed by you, saved by you, and live for you. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.